Coming up on TMS, I find the whole vulva fun.
Maybe Buscema? John Buscema? Not Sal Buscema?
Kojak with a Kodak.
If Pornhub has taught us anything...
Lorenzo's llamas.
It's your poop now.
You all have more butthole knowledge than I do.
Going to Chocolate Town costs $50 extra.
It's Monday or Wednesday today.
Cops and dude.
Lady in her bedclothes.
Truckers have 45 names for cops.
Speaking of white hair, there is no transition.
What kind of a deal with Bill?
Major spoilers and more. On this episode of The Morning Stream.
I still can't believe when I had my burger, there was something spicy.
I'll tell you what's wrong with it. I ain't got no gas in it.
This is The Morning Stream. The hell you say?
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's October 4th, if you can believe it, 2021. 4 days into this new month already, so we best get going here with the TMS part of the month.
Today is 10-4, good buddy.
Is it? Oh, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, how come they've got Talk Like a Pirate Day? They don't have Talk Like a Trucker Day.
Yeah, why is that? Is it because the pirates don't exist in the form that they used to, and so we can say all we want about them, but truckers still do, and so, you know, you don't want to besmirch.
We don't want to offend the truckers.
Yeah,
I
don't
want to
offend a trucker.
Breaker 19 is, this here's the rubber duck. I'm about to lay the hammer down.
My dad was really into the CB radio thing for a while, and we had a boat and a motorhome that both had, we go to Lake Powell all the time, and they both had these CB things, CB radios in them. And so I always thought this was so weird. I still think it's really weird. He'd get out on the road and he'd have conversations with actual truckers because he'd be listening on their channels and they'd be going, breaker, I got a thing with the deal and a ding, or whatever. And my dad would break in and go, yeah, this is, and he'd have a name for himself. I don't remember what it was. It's like, this is Wet Noodle. We're coming around. And he just had like these full conversations with these guys as if he was part of this little crew, you know? And at the time I remember thinking, what is this language? Who are these people? What are they saying?
I mean, the big reason to do that is because they're going to let you know where the bears are hanging out. They've even got a bear in the air. Where are they?
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, and the Smokies. They got to watch out for Smokies.
I think those are the same things, aren't they?
Well, Smokey and the Bandit. Wait.
Bears are officers. I don't know what Smokies are.
I thought Smokies were because Smokey and the Bandit means cops and dude.
Yeah.
I don't know now.
Right.
I don't actually know. What is Smokey short for?
I don't know what Smokey, right, because I know what you're saying, right? Because the Burt Reynolds thing, Smokey was the sheriff chasing. Maybe it's a sheriff versus state cops or something like that, or highway patrol or something like that. I don't know.
I found a list. Any of the fine officers out there who listen to the show, you want to confirm or deny any of these, but some of you get called Barneys because of Barney from the Andy Griffith Show. So that, I guess that stuck around for some people. You get called a Barney. Cop, obviously. A dick. That's for detectives, though. A 5-0. The fuzz. Oh, they say 5-0 a lot on with The Wire. When they know cops are coming around, the guy will go, 5-0! And everybody will like high and high. The fuzz, we know about that. A gumshoe. Jeez, what is it, the 20s here? Jeez.
Apparently, yeah, the...
oh, there it is, Smokey. I found it in the list.
Smokey, yeah. Smokey is another term for... I mean, it does come from them using bears as the officers. Bear rolling discos is a speeding police car with its lights flashing. Mm-hmm. This is my favorite one. Kojak with a Kodak is a police officer running radar.
Nice. Nice.
Also, they go,
I saw a Kodak with a Kodak about 4 miles back behind that sign, like that kind of thing. Right. That's what they do.
Yep, exactly. Really, they just—it's like Inuits and snow. There's about 45 words for bear, or for officer in the
that's fantastic
CB language. Flying donut.
Yeah.
Fox in the hen house is an unmarked police vehicle.
Nice. No one. So they just say that, but only truckers say that. No one else says that, right? That's like a trucker only.
Yeah,
deal.
No.
Okay. I like when they talk in code. Do they do popo or pig? You know, pig?
I don't see that one listed. Polar bear is a white unmarked police vehicle.
Mm. Oh, listen,
Super
I found
Trooper,
some
a taco I
found,
stand.
I found some British ones. Zoe, you have to tell us in the chat if these are any good. Bobby's on the beat. blue bottle, Roz, okay. Knicker, and plotter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Plotter, like P-L-O-D-D-E-R?
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's just plodding along?
That's right. Now, down there here, we'd say popo. Up in Canada, it says, Ontario specifically, O-popo. Weird, right? O, it the is. Letter O, and then P-O-P-O. O-popo. Oh, look
O-popo.
Out.
There's O-popo.
An O-popo up there. Canadians are weird, man.
All right, so... they have some destinations in CB slang, right? So if you say you're going to Disney Town, that means you're going to Anaheim, California.
Got it.
I'm going to give you the CB term for a place. You tell me where that trucker is headed.
Go.
Where he's hauling his hogs.
All right.
Let's start with an easy one. How about Beantown?
Beantown is Boston.
That is exactly correct.
Okay.
How about Chocolate Town?
I really hope this isn't a race thing.
It costs you an additional $50 to go to Chocolate Town.
Yeah, no kidding. Hershey, Pennsylvania? Pennsylvania.
That's exactly right. Hershey,
really?
Pennsylvania. Good job. Yep.
Oh, all right.
Yep. How about, let's see here, Flagtown.
Flagtown. Flagtown. D.C.?
No, Flagstaff, Arizona.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Got flag right there in the name. Okay.
Let's see here. How about quarterback? This is more of a less of a destination, more of a way you'll get there.
Quarterback.
I guess this wouldn't be a good one for you because you don't know about, I mean, obviously you know there exists an Interstate 25, but it doesn't go through Salt Lake City.
Oh, no.
So never mind.
We're all I-15 all the time here.
Yep. How about Steel City?
Steel City would be Pittsburgh.
That's exactly right.
Uh-huh.
The sticker patch.
The sticker patch. My sister when she was 12. No. let's see. Sticker patch. That's got to be something with like stuff that pokes you, like that kind of sticker.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
What
pokes you?
So what would be the sticker patch? Oh, geez. I don't know. What is that?
Phoenix, Arizona, reference to cactus.
Oh, duh. Cactus duh. Around.
So you were like right in the.
Man, I'd fit right in with these guys.
Range, yeah. How about the Silly Circle?
The Silly Circle. The roundabouts in Ireland. No, that's not it. Silly Circle? Silly Circle.
The Silly Circle. Yeah, Breaker 19, I'm heading to the Silly Circle.
I have no idea.
That is the Capitol Beltway, which is the beltway that goes around Washington, D.C.
Oh, I should have known that because it is kind of silly. It's a big loopy deal. Okay.
Let's do one more here. How about this one? I like this one. Rhymes with fun. Hey, where are you going? Breaker 19, I'm heading to Rhymes with Fun.
It's literally rhymes with fun, or this word rhymes.
Yeah,
with fun?
The word, the place description is called, quote, rhymes with fun, end quote.
Bus.
And it's not in it's a destination outside of the United States but still in North America.
Oh, so it's Canada probably, or Mexico.
Correct. It is a place in Canada.
Okay, it is. Yep. Canada. So let's say I have no idea what would rhymes with fun. I have
rhymes
no idea
with fun. J.K. Graber has it. It is Regina, Saskatchewan.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. That's terrible, truckers. You got all these boring ones like, yeah, we're going to the Silly Circle and, you know, stuff like that.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And they got a vagina joke. Man, go straight to it. All right, fantastic.
Yeah.
Fun, fungina. All right, but that doesn't make sense. Rhymes with fun.
Yeah?
It doesn't rhyme with fun.
No. No, but it rhymes with something fun.
Yeah, Regina. But that's effed up. You should say it rhymes with something. I'm heading over to rhymes with something fun. That's what they should say.
Well, they're going to say rhymes with a vagina.
Right, but they say it rhymes. I'm going to rhymes with fun.
Yes.
If I say that, that means the thing I'm going to rhymes with fun. Right?
You're thinking way too literally. Like rhymes with something fun. This town rhymes with something fun.
All right. These guys, I don't know, man. Truckers. I can't wait till automated truckers take over the whole thing and it's nothing but robots beeping, right. Booping back man. And forth. Ones and
hey,
zeros.
Hey, we have truckers listening, so
it'd be trucker 10101100110011100. all right. Well, that's fun. Hey, I wanted to give a quick shout out. He's not in the chat. I don't know if he'll even hear this, but a shout out to Civ in our community. You know Civ. Civ's a good guy.
Yeah, yeah. Love Civ.
I'm not even going to tell people.
Local boy here. Local Colorado boy.
Yes, he is. I'm not going to give any specifics as to why. He knows what he did. I just wanted to give him a shout out for it. That's all.
He'll know. Okay.
He'll know. It's our little secret. I'm going to waste everyone else's time with our little secret and say that.
You know, our podcast listeners complain about all the visual stuff we do. This is good because now you're given something that everybody but one person can complain
about. One single human being in the entire audience knows. No one else has any
idea. I think that's fine because, you know, I'm going to give a shout out to Shane Maddox because he knows what he did. He knows what he did on Friday.
Oh.
No. Yeah, bought me a burger is what he did.
That's
bought
nice.
Me and Tina burgers and very powerful gin drinks.
Hold on. Also, Shave Maddox also a local? I didn't know that.
No, he's not. He was visiting from Waukesha. He and a couple buddies came in for the 311 concert. They decided to come original to Red Rocks.
Oh, did you check the color of their energy while they were here?
I did. It was amber. It was a bright amber, and there was a mosquito stuck in it.
That's great. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Anyway, we went out to dinner on Friday night and had a great time. He's a great guy, and his buddies Dave and Mike were very cool as well. So, Shane, if you're listening, hey, there he is right there.
Hey.
Shane, you're awesome, and thank you for buying dinner. You really didn't have to do that.
Yeah, what a nice guy. He's also a very talented programmer, I happen to know.
Yeah.
Something might be happening.
Really?
Also, what else was I going to say? I was going to say something about the shaved. Oh, the 311. I've been listening to 311 this weekend. Isn't that a little weird?
Is weird. Weird coinky dink.
I don't know why I did. I just got in the mood. Maybe I heard it on a playlist and I went, wait a minute, what are they doing lately? And they got this 2019 album that freaking bangs. It's so good.
Oh, yeah. I remember when that came out.
Yeah.
Shane, what'd you think of Red Rocks? This was his first time going to the Red Rocks Amphitheater, which is just an incredible place to see a show.
That's where they performed. That's cool.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? If you're going to Denver, you want to go there, right? That's like going to Carnegie Hall.
And you can go there even if there's not a concert going on there. You can go there and as you've seen on many a TikTok, run up the friggin' steps or the platforms.
I keep getting these TikToks. They just show up in my feed, and I send them to Brian every time because I know this is that place. And my favorite maybe was a giant group yoga video. With like, I don't know, 100, 200 women doing yoga, all spread out on these seats doing yoga. And somebody had just made like a horrible cacophony of fart sounds as the soundtrack for it.
Just downward facing dog echoing farts all over Red Rocks. The acoustics there are great.
Yeah, I want to see that place. I heard somebody just performed there comedy-wise and filmed it. Bill Burr has a special coming, I guess.
Bill Burr,
filmed there.
Yeah.
And the last
There was a Brian Regan show from.
I recommended that one.
That
it was awesome.
On Netflix.
Yeah, that's not even a year old. That thing came out like 8 months.
Oh, was
it
that? Oh, that recent? Okay, I guess the concert there was 2 years ago because Tristan wanted to go and it was.
Oh, it was? Because the one I saw, they were all in masks and separated by 6 or 8 feet or whatever.
Oh, maybe it was. Wow, maybe it was that recent.
Maybe he's done. Maybe he came back and filmed it.
He could have come back, yeah.
Yeah. It was good, though. It was very funny. He has white hair now, so there's that.
Whoa.
Yeah. Look out, everybody. Hey, speaking of white hair, there's no transition here. Venom. Tell me about Venom. You went and saw Venom.
Yeah, I went and saw Venom 2. Let There Be Carnage. Only in theaters. So Tina and I went and we saw it only in the theater. Mm-hmm. Look, if you like the first Venom, this is going to be more of the same. Hardy's great. briefest of appearances by Michelle. Well, not brief, but she's not in it a whole lot. She's more there to be the damsel in distress for part of it, but she's also...
Who? Michelle who?
Michelle Williams from...
Oh, you didn't say Williams. You just said Michelle.
I thought I said Michelle Williams. Okay. Anyway, Michelle Williams is who I'm talking about.
You like
about.
Her that much or that close to her that you're like, you know?
Yeah, just call her Michelle. Yeah.
Me exactly. And Michelle were like this.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to think of the name of the other guy who's in it who plays her new boyfriend. Because you've seen him in everything. Reed Scott.
Oh, yeah. I know that guy.
Yeah, Veep. He was the main... suck up on Veep.
Yeah, the one that would quit and then
right, come exactly. Right back yes. And,
yeah, that guy was great. He's good.
He's great. But you know, all in all, the whole thing was really good. Woody Harrelson made a great Carnage. There's a lot of CGI Venom versus Carnage fighting. That's like, all right, this maybe went on a little too long, but. Mm. Again, if you like the first one, then the second one's going to be good. The stinger, though, is what really got the audience excited. Obviously, I won't say anything about it, but if you are going to see Venom 2 and you've never been to a Marvel movie before and you don't know that they put stingers, just make sure you stick them in or stick around for the stinger, because what they stuck in there was incredible.
I have a feeling... Just tell me if I'm warm. I'm not going to give it away. As I have no idea.
All right, everybody who cares about spoilers, 30-second countdown. Okay,
I have
go.
Zero idea what this is, so I'm not coming to it from anything. But it's got to be some finally the Spider-Man crossover is happening, right? Something like that, right? It's got to be.
You're warm. You're very warm.
I'm very warm? Okay.
Right. Yeah.
I feel warm. excellent. Well, there you go. I've heard from most people that like if you like the first one, this is more of that and slightly better. So sounds like that's what you're saying. Oh, and Andy Serkis directed this? Is that true?
Andy Serkis is the director, yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. That's a trip. Hold on.
Yep.
What else has he directed? Venom? All that Mogwai, Legends of the Jungle, Ruins of Empires, Breathe, and Heavenly Sword. Those are all he's done. But
yeah, Andy Serkis, man. Stepping out of the...
That's crazy.
Oh, I'm watching a white dog pooping my lawn, and I guarantee I can tell right now this person does not have a bag in their hand. They are not going to pick it up.
Nope. That one's yours.
Oh, if only I had like a speaker that went to the outside.
That one's yours to keep, dude. That's your poop
Look
now.
Look at that. Yep, there they go. Oh, just walking away. Okay. Yep. Yeah.
That's your white dog
that
poop.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. Just walked away. Poop and leave. Doesn't realize everyone's got cameras now.
Oh yeah, my Ring doorbell. I could have maybe yelled through my Ring doorbell. It's pretty far away. I wonder if I could have said, "You're gonna clean that up, right?"
he's
got to come back this way because they're going out for a walk. He's got to come back this way. I'll see if he picks it up on the way back.
And sometimes people will do that. I've done that where I don't have the bag because I'm not to the station yet and I'm out of bags. And I'm like, ugh, I'll come back. So yeah. I'll mark it or remember or whatever. And then I'll come back to it later. And I always worry that the people living there might have seen it and think I'm leaving, but I'm not. I fully intend to come back. Like, I almost feel like I should leave a note saying, a little post-it next to the turd.
Right.
I'm coming back for this.
I could do that.
Yeah. You should.
I could just run a piece of paper out there and put it right next to the poop that says, "Hey,
yeah, whoever left this, clean it up." You should.
Yeah.
Do it.
What would I make it? Golly, I could even just give them a bag too, and like say, in case you forgot one.
Yeah. It's not bad. That's not bad. And draw a gun on there.
Yeah, exactly. Because screenshot, like print the screenshot of the dog pooping in the yard.
Yeah,
put it on a piece of paper next to the bag. All right,
you?
Well, maybe I'll do that in a minute. We'll see. we got a lot of stuff to get to this morning.
We
By
do.
The way, Tina took me on a mystery date Saturday after Film Sec.
Yeah, how'd that
we
go?
Went to the Colorado Convention Center to something called the Curiosities and Oddities Expo, and. Kind of went into this thing not really having a big idea of what it was going to be, but it was great. I mean, this is basically the convention center filled with about 100-120 vendors, each one selling weird fossils, things in formaldehyde jars, like fetal this and fetal that, and goose heads and weird stuff like that. Weird. Skeletons of creatures arranged in weird positions. A lot of weird, like, tarot card stuff and teddy bears. The new thing this year, it's like, this is the first year I've ever been, but I'd never seen these before. I'd seen all that other stuff before. People taking teddy bears and putting skull faces, like ripping out the teddy bear's face and sewing a skull looking out of the teddy bear's head.
Ew. To what end? Just to be freaky and weird?
Just to be freaky. I mean, basically all these things were for sale. I don't think I bought a single thing there.
Mm.
But there was one that I was tempted to. There was an artist there that had a style very much like Carter. And had some amazing, like, Spock versus Evil Spock and, like, total pop culture stuff and the Avengers. And they took the Beatnik pinball machine and all the characters you see on the back glass of the Beatnik pinball machine and had them all standing around it playing pinball and, like, smoking a jazz cigarette sitting next to the pinball machine and stuff.
Nice. That's cool.
Some really, really cool stuff. Bizarre as hell, but Tina
knocked
it out.
So it sounds like an artist alley kind of thing, sort of?
Kind of, yeah. So a few of the vendors were just artists who were either worked with photography, worked with painted art, drawn art.
Hmm.
Kind of intermixed around all of the people selling formaldehyde jars. I could send you a photo real quick that you could put into the chat. Why don't I do that?
Sure, why not? Text that over to
you. Because some freaky ass stuff, Scott Johnson.
Sounds like my jam, dude. I'd go to that in a heartbeat. If that comes here, I would go because I like weird stuff.
Well, it's touring around. You might actually find it. All right, check your phone.
Oh yeah, look at this business. Ooh, geez, some of these are very alien, and some look real. Like that's a cat skull. Here, hold on, chat. It's coming up. Okay, there you go. So chat room, you can enjoy a little bit of a. Here, I'll zoom in here. So one of those is a frog. I see a couple of octopi there.
Yeah.
Like some kind
of a lobster is in one of those. Yeah. And
you got some
jellyfish.
I don't know what the hell the thing with the giant eye is. There's a huge grasshopper looking thing, locust looking thing.
Yeah.
How'd you like to find that in your grilled cheese?
I would not like it, sir. I would not like it at all.
Yucko. Then there's a cat skull down there. Those are all cat skulls, I think, except that middle one. Yeah, that's a trip. And these people, do they have shops normally and they come out and have a booth and then you can go to their shop later?
I think that they do a lot of online stuff and then they just come to these expos. I can't imagine shop space making enough money selling this stuff to pay for shop space.
Wow. All right. Yeah. Well, I feel like I've seen some things today.
Hey, Anna Krakatau, have not yet been to Meow Wolf. One just opened up here in Colorado, but I have been to the one in Santa Fe and the one in, Las Vegas. So
what's a Meow Wolf?
That is an art installation gallery, big walkthrough gallery thing that George R. R. Martin helped fund the first one in Santa Fe.
Right.
And it is, you've seen a video of me walking into a refrigerator.
Yeah. That thing. Okay. Yep. Now I remember. I want one of those too.
Oh, they're cool. So cool. The Vegas one is great. Omega Mart. It's worth checking out if you go to Vegas.
Yeah. Well, we will be going at some point. Vegas will happen. All right. On that note, we're going to do some Dunaway. Is what we're going to do.
Yeah, let's do Dunaway.
And to do that, he just has to answer his effing thing. It's just ringing. Uh-huh. You know, it's ringing there. I see it blinking. It's like, it's like he's there, but he isn't there. You know, one of those deals.
he's half there.
He's half there. Oh, he's full there now. I see him now. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the program. Brian Dunaway comes on Mondays and Wednesdays. We play a little game, give some prizes away, fun stuff like that. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian. Is it Monday or Wednesday already?
It is.
It's Monday or Wednesday today. Yes.
Yeah, you choose.
Excellent.
You choose your own adventure here.
Yeah. I'm going for Wednesday.
Wonderful.
Let's fast forward this week on.
That seems like a great idea. I'm all in on this idea. Hey, it's Brian Dunaway, everybody. And not only will he and I be doing a show later today, we'll give you details in a bit, but We had a really fun film sack over the weekend. I just had to mention that.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you want
to. We watched Alien to the Third.
Yeah. Alien to the Power of Three.
Yeah. And it was a good time. So if you want to check out that episode, you should.
Yeah. It was a good time.
It was a great time.
The film wet, was good time.
It's all wet and drippy. Well, yeah, that was the good time.
I also enjoyed the movie a lot. So I'm good. Yeah. I told you in the show, and I'll say it again. Yeah. I've gotten to a place in my life where I have forgiven what it did at the beginning, and I'm just watching a David Fincher movie now, and it's good. I like it.
Yeah.
Story decisions aside, I still have two. I can go back and watch that. Feel good about it. It's all fine. Just took me like 30 years to do it. All right.
Look, in this day and age, we've become so familiar with multiverses. I can pretty much excuse any one movie, no matter what it does. Even if it doesn't exist in the multiverse, I can tell myself, it's a multiverse thing.
You're going to basically explain away Alien 3 as it took place in a separate universe as the regular.
Right. But even they're kind of doing that. They got that new book out, which is the other script that takes them in a totally different place. Like, I have no problem with that, especially in comics and stuff. We've already been doing that for 100 years in comics. Why not now? Why not here? Dunaway, welcome. It's good to have you here. We're going to play a game. Brian's going to explain how it works, who's going to win, and what they'll win. Brian?
I will do that. Welcome to the Morning Squirm, a back-and-forth trivia game where our players will match wits on topics that, Cliff Clavin of the Cheers Bar would have offered up. Scott and Brian will take turns answering multiple-choice trivia questions, and if they get it wrong, the other player gets a point. The player with the most points after 5 questions wins the prize for their contestant, and we're pulling contestants from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live. Scott, you're going to be playing for Mark Flazer? Mark F. Let's just say Mark F.
Sure.
From Delton, Mississippi.
Nice.
MI is Mississippi, right? These are the ones. Or no, Michigan.
No, that's Michigan. Missouri. No, Michigan. Yeah.
No, Missouri. No.
MS is Mississippi.
No, that is Michigan. It's Michigan. Yeah. Dunaway, you're going to be playing for Veronica Susie from Seattle, Washington.
Yes.
And whichever one gets first place gets a copy of The Adventure Pals and State of Mind on Steam. But our second place winner is not going away empty-handed. They're going to get a copy of Guacamelee 2.
Ooh, you could argue they're getting the better game. Yeah. That's a good game. Good.
Better hope for losing.
Yeah, it's real good.
All right, so I can't remember who won last time, but we're going to start with Brian on this one.
Sure.
Perfect.
Brian, if you meet someone using a dating app, studies show that there's a 48% chance that the relationship will end this way. Is it A, via an email, B, getting ghosted, C, face-to-face, or D, with cheating? So 48% of dating app relationships end with either an email, getting ghosted, a face-to-face breakup, or one of the people cheating on the other?
I can't believe the death is not in there. I was pretty sure that would be the one.
Really? Well, isn't that the definition of getting ghosted?
Right.
Literally getting ghosted.
40% are going to end with a big old fast ghost. This was going to happen. It's October. Nothing spookier than getting ghosted on a dating app. So,
all right.
Lean into the theme.
Is the answer getting ghosted? No, it is not. Oh. Scott, the remaining choices are, Scott, you get the point. The remaining choices are via an email, face-to-face, or with one cheating on the other.
I'm surprised there's no text option there. That's interesting.
Oh, right. Yeah, no kidding.
No, that's too intimate.
I mean, is it though? I don't know. It doesn't feel that removed from an email to me. But all right, I'm going to say email then, because I don't know. This is a total guess. I don't use these services, but I'm guessing if you're going to break up, you might use the service itself to do it, and they've got built-in ways to do it, so emails end up getting sent. So emails.
Email is 100% correct.
Really? Yeah,
email. 48% chance that the relationship will end with an email.
That is insane. Is
you know it because what? The, I think because texting the messages is too immediate.
Dude, right? Exactly. That's what I was thinking. Texting is very intimate and immediate. Right. I mean, people get pissed.
Exactly. If I had their address, I'd break up with them via snail mail.
How often do you slam your phone down because you read an email? Never. Text message, you can get mad.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No. Well, I mean, text is even on there. That surprises me. But like the fact that it's not ghosting is surprising. I really would. Have, I would surprising. Have picked that.
Who gives like out their email anyway on a date nap? Weird.
Yeah, right. It's got to be through the app. I'm guessing. All right. Well, let's Scott. You get this next question. Speaking of dating. A Match.com survey revealed that a guy who does this will triple his chances of scoring on a date. Oh so what can you do to increase your chance of the date ending with...
I like these questions. They've been
get
good.
Lucky. Is it A, talking highly about your mom? B, asking about her pets? C, opening the car door? Or D, chatting up the Uber driver. Which one of these will triple your chances?
The Uber driver feels personal, Ibbot, like you've
Well, I drove for Lyft. Yeah.
Yeah. So Brian was the chatty in that case.
Right.
That's right. Exactly.
You're not going to get lucky up here.
Yeah, not up here in the front seat. All right. I'm gonna go ahead and make a weird assumption. I don't know how they get this data. This is weird data. I don't know how you get this out of people.
Yeah, it is weird data.
But I'm going to say...
Exit surveys.
Talking up their pets.
Asking about her pets.
Yeah. And also, there's no way it's an exit survey where it goes, hey, on those nights where you got lucky, what do you think it is you did?
Yeah, that's right. Weird. Exactly. Which of these 12 things did you do?
Yeah, there's no way they did that. I don't get it.
That is a weird way. All right. Asking about her pets. Is Scott correct? No, that is not correct.
Damn it.
Brian, remaining choices.
Sure.
Talking highly about his mom, opening the car door, or chatting up the Uber driver.
If anything is, if Pornhub has taught us anything, is chat up the mom.
Chat up the stepmom. No, you mean talking highly about his mom?
There you go. Yeah.
That is also incorrect.
Listen,
if you're nice to the Uber driver, then you apparently show that you are a good
serious?
Person. To, yeah, exactly.
That is BS. That is some.
Now,
that is
I
some
might have
Uber,
gone.
That is some Uber BS right there.
I might have gone that way had you said is nice to the Uber driver, but just chatting it up.
Chatting up the Uber driver is what the answer says. So.
Weird.
Interesting.
Weird.
Yep.
Okay. Maybe that just gives them a better idea of how you communicate or something. I don't know.
Chatting up the Uber driver is being nice to the Uber driver. If you were yelling at the Uber driver, no, take the highway. What are you doing taking the tunnel?
This survey brought to you by Uber. Call us now.
That's right. All right.
Oops, sorry. I don't know why they did that. Continue. No one won yet.
Well, back to Scott. All right. Think about this the next time you see somebody sneezing without covering their mouth.
Yeah.
What is the distance that a sneeze can travel? Is it A, 200 feet, B, 60 feet, C, 15 feet, or D, the length of a football field?
That one. So I feel like
we
saw this on
Mythbusters. We should be with this, right? Because we've always talked about it as COVID for last year. And
I know, right? Yeah,
this,
you think
we
just know.
Seems like this would come up recently.
This was a Mythbusters thing, and they did this once.
Did they really? Okay.
Yeah, and I don't think it was a football field. Or maybe that was the myth they were trying to bust.
Maybe, yeah.
I'll say 60. It sounds right. I don't know. 60 feet.
All right. Is the answer 60 feet? No, Brian Dunaway. The remaining choice is 200 feet, 15 feet, or the length of a football field.
Okay, but what's the question again? Not the answer.
The
question.
Distance. The distance that a sneeze can travel.
Hmm. See, that's a weird way to put it. What do you mean travel? Like entirely intact?
Like particle the contents, bits? I think particle bits. How far do particle bits?
When does a sneeze become not a sneeze and become particle bits? Because it's going to be a football field otherwise, because it could travel indefinitely. But once it reaches a certain point, when is it no longer
part of
a sneeze?
I mean,
I'm going football field because it's just a weird answer. Football field.
Oh, man.
Okay.
I hope this is it.
Is the answer football field? No, it's not. The answer is 200 feet.
200 feet?
According to this,
that's a football field.
300 feet is a football field.
It's a little shy of that. So it's like firing an arrow. Eventually, it's going to drop. Right?
Yep, exactly. And I don't know, you know, if I guess this means like in a in a non-wind situation.
Yeah, because a sneeze isn't an arrow. It's not a. It is not a. It's not a form. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, when does it not become a sneeze anymore?
Right. I guess it's just measuring droplets. I don't know. I don't know.
All I know is
I love these questions, though. They give us a opportunity to talk about stupid.
Exactly.
Yeah. Press. My new non-masked social distance is now 200 feet. Everybody, I'm just
200 feet. Yeah. Yeah. I need you to keep a 200 foot distance from me. Thank you.
All right. Back to Brian on this one.
That's if you're driving, like a restraining order, by the way, 200 feet. Anyway, go ahead. Right.
If you're driving and a deer jumps in front of your car, recommended that you do which of the following?
Mm-hmm.
Is it A, yell at the deer?
Yes.
B, swerve to avoid hitting the deer?
Yes.
C, keep driving straight?
Yes.
Or D, slam your car into reverse?
Oh, my God. How is this even a question? There's only one answer, and that's to keep driving, because everything else is going to put you in a more dangerous situation. A car is generally going to win against a deer. Your best odds are to go ahead and mow it down.
All right. Is it keep driving straight? Yes, it absolutely is.
Oh, man. Right off the bat. Nicely
right
done.
Off the bat.
Dude, we're always, every night, had to avoid deer. Every night.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I used to, too. Where I used to live and the commute I had to watch for deer every day, which was funny because the deer I would hit or I would get close to hitting was right on the street across from the new NSA building that nobody knew anything about. This creepy government building they built out there.
Really?
And they were always this big monolithic, no one can go inside, no one comes out building, and then deer you could hit. It was weird.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is weird.
Yeah.
We don't have deer around. I mean, we don't have to worry about deer too much here anymore. We've seen them, but they've moved more south. But we have bears now, apparently, that hang out on the bike path by my house.
Ooh, that is scary. But I'm telling you, just about most everybody around here has a deer dent in their car. I mean, it just happens all the time.
Yeah, you just got to plow through it. Yep.
You got to knock out those deer dents. We go to the.
All right, Scott. Well, Brian's got enough to win, but you get one more question to see if you can rack up a point. The world record for the largest object to be inserted in somebody's anus is.
If Pornhub has taught us anything,
that's right. Is it?
Yeah.
A 1.8 pound, 9.2 inch circumference stone. Two 16-ounce Tallboy beer cans by side. A men's size 10.5 construction work boot, or D, a standard size traffic cone.
Threat number C.
Did the traffic cone? Does it include the base or just the cone?
Just the cone part.
Okay. So it's some frat guy with the base hanging out of his hooter while he's got the rest up his gym jam. All right, I'm gonna go with. That one seems possible because
it's tapered.
You work up to it. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to go all in at once. That boot isn't no way someone put a boot up there.
I like how Ibbot was this right on the tapered thing. Oh, it's tapered. Yeah, it makes sense. That's tapered. How you do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you gotta think about all these, right? The two 10-ounce Tallboy beer cans side by side.
Side by side. What a weird configuration.
I remember in somewhere someone told me, and I don't remember the context of this at all, but somebody said your muscles down there can only handle about 7 inches before everything just shreds. And so
y'all have way more butthole knowledge than I do. I feel
Remember somebody telling me that, and I don't know if that's even true, so I'm kind of basing this on nothing, but I'm gonna go with that cone. Let's go with the traffic cone.
All right.
Coons.
Is it the traffic cone? It is not.
Damn it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, care to take a stab at this one?
Absolutely. I'm going to go with the the threat that I've experienced. I'm going to stick a size 10 boot up your butt. I think that is.
You think it is the.
I think that's based in some type of reality that, you know, I think that's what's going on.
Okay.
All right. Is it a men's size 10.5 construction work boot? It is not, though I love to have the specifics of that answer. No, it's actually a 1.8 pound, 9.2 inch circumference stone.
Oh,
always go with the accurate measurement answer.
Yes, exactly.
The cones seem like a fun college prank, you know?
It does, yes, yeah. Exactly.
Not
but that happens once a week,
it.
And it's not really a record, right?
Right. I mean, those things happen all the time, but I'm just saying, and nobody, listen, all you young college upstarts, don't put a traffic cone in your butt or the beer cans. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Right. Don't do the beer cans.
But by all means,
don't put anything in your butt.
By all means, yeah. Put that huge stone.
Don't do what Eddie Murphy told you to do in that song.
Don't listen to Eddie Murphy and put it in your butt. Don't
yeah.
do it.
Yeah, don't do it.
Or Tom Green, for that matter. I think Tom Green also tried to tell us to put a bunch of things in our butts.
Does anyone under 30 know about that song that Eddie Murphy did, I wonder?
Put it in your butt.
Yeah, no, put a big tree in your butt.
Go Google Boogie in Your Butt.
That's it.
And, yeah,
it's weird.
Yeah,
I don't know why it exists.
Short time that Eddie Murphy decided to do music, that and Party All the Time.
Oh, that Party All the Time, dude. Okay. Have we ever said what we think the worst song of the 80s is? Because I think that one is there. It is up there.
I groove to that. I can't say it's the worst song.
It is the worst song. It's bad. No. What else is
it
bad?
It is up there.
We all grew up to it.
We were all kids then. It's bad. What's the other one? We Built This City, maybe? That's pretty bad.
I think that one might be my... I think I might hate that one more.
Yeah. There we go. Okay, I'm confused because I think you're crossing wires between what's bad and what you hate. Yeah. There's not...
Oh, okay. All right. What's a bad song? Yeah.
Party All the Time is a bad song.
It is a bad song.
I think it's well composed. I think it's, you know, competently sung. I don't know. I can't. You can hate it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can hate it. But should you?
It's got to have some really inane lyrics for me to really hate it. That's my thing.
What's that Lean on Me remake?
The Club 80s? Nouveau?
Yeah, that's great.
I dislike that.
It's got some good funk to it.
I bought the tape the week it happened, but now I regret it horribly.
Let me tell you.
How about She's Like the Wind by Patrick Swayze the Dirty Dancing soundtrack?
The lyrics to
that are just like, are they high school notebook 14-year-old poetry or what?
Let me tell you this. You never heard the worst song from the 80s because you never heard it. It's the worst song from the 80s.
Yes.
You never heard it.
Right. The most popular bad song of the 80s is kind of where we're going with this. Because, there's probably stuff out there that never saw the light of day on radio or anything that's far worse than what... Clark Gack really wants to push George Harrison's I Got My Mind Set on You.
It's a bad one. It's bad.
Let's face it. The Safety Dance is not really a good song. I mean, it's catchy.
I kind of like Safety Dance.
I love it. I love that song.
If you want to, you can leave your friends behind. Listen, that song's all right. I'm not going to go with you down that path. That's a lonely road you're on. I like Safety Dance. It's a good song.
Boy, Dice Tomato pushing, day do 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 day da da da. I love that song.
And that song's all
right. Red Fraggle pushing Mexican Radio by Wall of Voodoo. I love that one.
Oh, I love Mexican Radio.
Yeah.
And Turning Japanese, another good one. Like, there's a bunch of songs you might think are like...
Is that a good song? I mean...
Turning Japanese. I think I'm turning Japanese. I really think so.
It's such a weird thing. We're talking about taste at this point.
We are.
We're not talking about... Yeah, that's we can't have this argument.
It's the 80s, man. This is the greatest decade in modern history. It's an amazing time.
J.K. Grammer gave me a link to a video, but I can't tell what video it is.
Oh, are you going to get Rickrolled? You're probably going to get Rickrolled.
Patrick Swayze, She's Like the Wind.
She's like the wind.
Through the tree.
Through the tree. Oh, it's so shitty. All right, Brian swung me over. I think I'm taking that. It's really bad. All right. Well done. Hey, oh, no, you have more questions. Or did we get them all?
No, that's all. No. Brian Dunaway wins. Congratulations.
Going up
to... Veronica Susie from Seattle, congratulations. You are the winner of The Adventure Pals and State of Mind. But Mark from Delton, Michigan, you are not going away empty-handed. You're going to get a copy of...
What we learned on Pornhub today.
That's right, exactly.
Oh, not empty handy.
The empty handy.
What's the largest thing everyone has ever put? No, Guacamelee 2 going out to Mark from Dalton, Michigan.
Very, very nice. If I'm honest, you got the better game. All right.
Yes.
The other one's fine, but you know, this Guacamelee is an amazing series.
It's a pretty fun game.
All right. Today at 3:30 Mountain Time, me and Dunaway are going to be doing the Boop Show. That's B-O-O-P. Mm. You know, like a sound a video game might
das
make.
Das Boop.
Yeah, Das Boop, which is, you know, a show all about indie games. We cover the indies and the retro market and that kind of stuff. And this week's no different. Brian will be covering Potion Craft today, which I've also played. Very excited.
Alchemy
here.
Simulator. Yeah. There's something that Scott was going to play.
I did play.
And then he freaked out, and I took it. I took a second.
I played it. I played maybe as much as you, but I have questions about it that are keeping me from full recommendation. So today will be the day I find out what I'm doing wrong.
All right. Okay.
So we'll check that out. I forget what mine is, but it's good too. Anyway, that'll be today at 3:30 Mountain Time right here at frogpants.tv or on the podcast later, whatever you like. Brian Dunaway, is there anything else you'd like to say?
Falco, rock me Amadeus. Amadeus, Amadeus.
Amadeus. No,
that's a good song.
Amadeus.
Amadeus. Amadeus.
I'm fine. Vienna Calling.
Lady, that's another good one. You're not putting any Falco on this list.
Yeah,
Falco. Lady in Red by Christa Berg.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
I kind of like Lady in Red.
How about I Just Called to Say I Love You by Stevie Wonder?
Oh. Now,
it's okay once in a while, not too often, though. Like,
yeah,
I
only
if it's
overlaid with some Disney animation clips.
Maybe. But you gotta
really? Where does that come from?
Oh, you don't remember that? You remember the 80s? The Disney did the they did a whole bunch of like little clips from their like Bambi and Snow White and everything.
Put it to that song?
Music. Yeah, put it to popular music. Not just that one, but other things.
I don't remember that at all.
I don't remember that a bit. No.
A lot of fun.
Hold on a second. So what was the duet that David Bowie and Mick Jagger did? What was that?
They did Dancing
in the
Street.
Oh, yeah, Dancing
in the Street. Cover of a great song.
Yeah, the song's fine. That's what I want to make that distinction.
Version.
That
Why
song
am I,
is
oh, my
fine.
God, I remember so many flashbacks.
If it weren't for that video, though, Scott, would you not dislike the song?
I hate that video.
Wait,
with a fire.
Do you guys remember a show with Lorenzo Lamas that was on Friday nights, and there was ladies dancing around in lingerie, and that was
like
song that intro'd
like solid. It was kind of like Solid Gold, but it was a different thing.
It was Lorenzo Lamas.
Like Fridays. Y'all remember? You remember this guy?
I barely remember Lorenzo Lamas. Well, what was it? What was that called?
Literally, it was just a music video show, and instead of dancers, well, they had ladies in lingerie dancers.
Yeah, it was like it was like Soul Train and Solid Gold had a baby.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find it here. Some TV here.
I'll tell you. I'm pulling up his list right here. Lorenzo Lamas.
I know, right? That guy.
I wonder if he did the worst song. I bet he had a song.
He was in a movie in 1969 called 100 Rifles as Indian Boy.
It was Lorenzo Lamas, right? I'm not remembering.
Maybe
that
it wasn't.
Correctly.
Maybe it wasn't Lorenzo Lamas. I'm looking at his television history.
Maybe
and,
not. Maybe it was. Maybe somebody else. Lorenzo Lamas like
shows like Solid Gold. If you search for that, shows like Solid Gold.
Oh, was it Dancing to the Hits? Captain Kipper might have found it. Dancing to the Hits.
That's it.
Okay. Yeah. That's
yes.
Gotta
that's
be
exactly it right there.
Who's the host?
Who is that host? Is that
Lorenzo Lamas? It was.
Med?
It says it was syndicated. Yeah.
Oh, it is Lorenzo Lamas.
It doesn't have in his credits.
He wiped that one from his Facebook page.
The Wikipedia is
not Facebook. His Wikipedia page.
Wikipedia for dancing. Page. Dancing to the Hits Wikipedia is the shortest Wikipedia I've ever read.
The link that Captain Kipper put in is exactly what it was. Here's a woman dancing to lingerie. What's the song she's dancing to?
Yeah. Do you have a link to this? God, oh, I got this.
Oh, I'll put it in our chat. You can enjoy it. Yes.
All right.
They've muted the music from this video probably because of the copyright violations. Yeah. But
oh, well, that's actually helps me. Let's see here. I'm going to put that in here and we're going to look at it for a minute. Look at that, everybody. Oh, that's, Lorenzo. Look at him with his feathered hair and his dancing lady. Look at her dancing. Look at her. Oh, man.
Dancing.
Look at that crimp. She's being crimped.
So young.
She has a crimper because that's what my sisters did. They all crimp their hair then.
Yes.
That was a thing to do.
So many leopard print leather jackets.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, here's a bed scene with a lady in her bed clothes. Oh, yeah. This is a little more like, hey, solid gold ain't giving you what we're giving you kind of deal.
Wow. Oh, right. This is horrible.
Yeah, that's
terrible. I love it.
Okay. Well, the point is, what was the point? The point so is, much, Brian, so have a great one.
The '80s, and you tried to say that you knew the worst song from the '80s. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that. There's no such thing as being able to narrow that down. There's some really bad examples, but there's also some amazing music. It's still the greatest decade ever. Okay, everybody. So calm yourselves down. Brian,
that's right.
Have a great couple of the rest of your life. We'll see you this afternoon.
Do it.
Bye now. All right. It's time for us to... we're going to take a break. That's what we're going to do.
Okay. All right.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll make some stuff with Bill. And then major spoilers. I got questions for him about this Sandman Netflix deal.
Yeah.
Very excited about it. A little Charles dance in there. You know, we got some stuff. Also, mm-hmm. I guess there's some news in that Scarlett Johansson lawsuit, so we'll get to that as well.
Yeah, you gotta find out what's going on with that.
Yep, so that's all coming up here shortly after this musical break, presented by Brian Ibbett Industries.
Yes, so we're going over to the San Francisco Bay Area for a quartet named French Cassettes. Their sophomore album, Rolodex, came out last December, but they are going on tour for it, and so because of that, they've shared a brand new single called Good For It. They'll be performing this at all of their West Coast dates. They're going to be in LA, Santa Barbara, Santa Cruz, San Francisco. So if you like this, and I do, then you should go check them out. Here are French Cassettes with the song Good For It.
That's such a great name, French Cassettes. I don't know why I French like that cassettes. So much, but I do. Yeah. All right, here it is. We'll be right back.
I thought you said you were feeling better.
Be told, I also came down with COVID, but like Joe Rogan, I also threw the kitchen sink at it and ingested a Z-Pack, horse dewormer, cow estrogen, goat Plan B, oyster anxiety medication, horse rewormer, worm ecstasy, embalming fluid, COVID-19, a kitchen sink, and $200 cash. And after 3 days of being paralyzed on my kitchen floor, I felt amazing.
I was chilling out with my bros tonight.
The Morning Stream. It's like having your tongue stuck to a frozen pole.
All right, that song once again was...
That song is Good For It by the band French Cassettes. Go see them now. They're touring the West Coast.
So, Lennonade in the chat, he and I are having words here a little bit. Oh, really? He says, okay. Saying the 80s and culture in the same sentence is a travesty.
Oh, come on.
London 8, how old are you? And did you exist during that time? If you did, in any sort of meaningful cultural way, then you're crazy. The 80s
was
amazing.
So, Lemonade, are you saying that I can't say Culture Club came out in the 80s? Because that's putting 80s and culture in the same sentence.
To say there's no culture in any decade is like kind of a weird take. That's a weird hot take. I like you, though, Lemonade.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's get into the world of tomorrow today. No, that's not true. We're adding Bill. Yeah, we're not doing that. Bill will be here.
That's right.
Dunaway. Oh, what's this freaking thing?
Both of our guests from a world of today.
Yeah, the world of today. They'll probably do something tomorrow, but we don't have access to that information.
We don't have access for what they're going to do tomorrow.
Not yet. Not yet, anyway.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Check it out, everybody. It's Bill Duran, who is now with us all the way from the Pacific Northwest, from the Punish Props Studios. What's going on, man?
Hello, my cat wants to say hi.
Oh, that's adorable.
Hi, Willow.
Oh, Willow.
All right, she's done now.
Willow's she's getting to be an old-timer, right? How old is Willow now? Pretty old?
11 now.
Oh, geez. All right, then.
We got him right after we got married, so it's easy to remember. And I got married in 2010, which is a good year to do it. Very easy math.
Yeah, that's right. I keep, man, it's so weird to think you were married that year. It was the year I met you for the first time at that Nerd Tag.
Yeah, geez. Wow.
And it's just weird to think that was your wedding year.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. All right, 2010.
It is weird.
We miss you. All right. Hey, well, it's good to have you here. I assume you've been probably working on some stuff. What's going on over there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So last week we put out a shop tour video of our basement shop. It's the sort of thing people really like to see. They like to kind of get... when you're filming, like when we film our YouTube videos, you don't really get an idea of the space. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of fun to take the time to slowly go through it all, kind of point out where everything is. So we did that last week, and it was really fun.
That's awesome.
We moved a few months ago. I've talked about that. Mm-hmm. And the new setup that we have, we spent a lot of time putting it together, and we have a lot of features to show off. So that's what we ended up doing. I just sort of wandered around the basement, pointing at stuff and talking about all the changes we've made. And I wanted to... share that stuff in case anyone watching wanted ideas.
Yeah.
Basically, if anyone's building out their own home shop in their basement or garage or a bare room or whatever.
What if your studio? What if your studio? Your podcast studio is a huge mess, and you're just too. You just can't be bothered to clean it up. How about that?
That sounds like your. I don't know if my shop tour video is going to help. Maybe it'll help. Inspire you.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to see how orderly things are, and I'm going to say, it's time. Bill is now, finally, I'm over the edge. Let's get this done.
Wait till you see all of the containers I have that have labels on them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and all the stuff is in the containers, not just lying about. It's really good. Yeah.
That's cool. That's the way it's got to be.
I love watching other people do shop tour videos. Sometimes people will do something really fun with it. The cliche thing, of course, is to turn your shop tour video into an episode of Cribs, which is always fun.
Yep.
Our buddy David Picciuto did that for his old shop, which was really great.
That's cool. I've never even seen an episode of Cribs, but I know exactly what that must look like.
Yeah, right. It's the same here. Exactly. Yeah,
it's weird.
Yeah. In fact, I could probably recreate an episode of Cribs just by watching a bunch of shop tour videos that are trying to look like an episode of Cribs.
Gotcha. That's all it would take. But mostly it's just, yo, check out this bathroom, yo. It's like that kind of talk. That's all you got.
Right. Yeah. So I recommend Makers of All Stripes go and look up shop tour videos on YouTube, especially if you already have a maker that you like. See if they've made a tour video. They're really fun. Also... I recommend even just going to, if you're looking for shop ideas for your workspace, just go to YouTube and look up shop tour. You will find dozens of them in a variety of disciplines. That's one of the things I like doing. Obviously, I like looking, seeing what other prop makers are doing in their shops. I've had the chance to scour Adam Savage's shop and take pictures and look at all the tools and everything, which is awesome, but it's great looking at shops of people who don't do the same thing as you.
Sure.
It's such a great way to start mining for new ideas that you might be able to incorporate into what you do.
So you could see a woodworker and you're like, oh, well, if he's doing that, I could do that with this prop deal.
Totally. Whatever. Absolutely. Yeah. And I like to watch videos of like woodworkers or jewelers or blacksmiths or machinists. Even though I don't really do all of that stuff, their ideas for how they organize and manage all of their woodworking paraphernalia or machinist tools or all that, they're all really great ideas and they can be incorporated into what I do.
Nice.
And they're also just fun. It's just really fun to see someone who's proud of their space show off that space, talk about it.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I feel like I need to do that very thing more. I need to get out of my shell and look at other shells and adjust my shell accordingly. That's definitely a place I'm at right now.
And what's cool is if you're able to take a little time to do it. So we've spent like the last 3 or 4 months really, really diving into our shop and setting it up so it's perfect for us. And this is my fourth iteration of a workshop since I've started building out like my tool collection. And every time I do it, I learn new stuff. I bring in ideas from the past setup that we had. And I change, you know, I know what I use, and I know what I didn't use. So the new space changes quite a bit to reflect the way I use it.
Mm-hmm.
So the new space, it's our old basement, but it's all new down there. Mm-hmm. This is the way we have it set up now. Our office up in our dining room, really, is now our office. We don't use the dining room, especially during a pandemic.
Not so having people over for for cheese board?
No, we're not doing that much. So the office is our upstairs now, which gave us a little more space downstairs. There's one room in the basement that's kind of finished. The floor is still concrete, but the walls have drywall. So that's our clean, and you can't tell, but I'm putting up air quotes, clean room. And that's our studio. We made that into our studio. The walls are all finished, so they're white, which is better for reflecting light. That's where we do most of our filming. I have my main workbench set up there with a lot of the tools I use right there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to run around the shop looking for stuff. And we can spend most of our time there filming there. We have our lights. It looks cool. We have all our decorations up. That's our studio.
Yeah.
The other three quarters of our basement is the unfinished half of the shop. And that's more of the dirty area, the dusty, dirty area. And there's a door between them, so we can hopefully keep the dust over there.
Where it belongs.
But that's where we have all our woodworking stuff, our big power tools that make a lot of dust. We have our dust collector. That's in like kind of a woodworking area over there.
Yeah. As it should.
And then, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, as it should be. Mm-hmm. Everything you've described so far sounds like they're not just smart changes, but, you know. Like, is there value, too, in the idea that you're going to walk in there after these changes and it's just there's a newness to it?
And
you're just
cool, too.
You're out of the old routine a little bit, like moving your furniture around.
Mm-hmm. It does feel very new. And it's new and it's everything's very deliberate where it is. So it just feels good.
Yeah.
To go hang out down there. And I do that sometimes. I'll just go down there with my coffee, like 5 minutes, just walk around and be like, nice. Oh, yeah. Nice. I like this.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have sort of different areas set up down there. We have kind of the woodworking area. That's the dusty area that we usually for like breaking down big stuff. And a lot of sanding, a lot of powered sanding over there. Then we have a machining area where I've got my lathe set up. I do need to get a mill still to put over there. But that's its whole other space. So all the tools for machining all live over there. And then around the corner, we have a bunch of storage, like all of our paints. Every brand of paint we have is in a different container that's labeled. Oh, feels so good.
Probably even the different kinds of paint, right? Like stuff that's okay to paint on plastic. There's the stuff that you paint on resin or whatever. Foam. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have probably 30 or 40 different paint containers.
Oh my God. Wow.
All labeled. And then if you move on back into the shop, we have kind of a CNC area set up, which is very fun. I have a computer over there to run the 3D printers and the laser cutter and the vinyl cutter and a CNC machine. Mm. And that's just a cute little quarter. And again, all the tools I need for those all live over there.
Yeah.
And then kind of deeper into the basement, we have our deep storage for all our materials and kind of a molding and casting area. The only thing we haven't quite figured out is a painting area. And I think most of our painting, especially any sort of spray painting, we're just going to end up doing outside. We have a back porch. It's dry out there. It's the best way to keep any VOCs out of the house. So that's kind of the setup we have. Nice. And we've started using it a lot, and it's really working. I still have a little work to do. I still have some more labeling to do. Yeah. But it's working really great, and it feels awesome to work down there.
You guys don't miss having the shop in town or anything like that. Like, now that it's back in the basement, it kind of feels like it's a lot easier to go back and forth and stuff, right?
Sure, yeah. There's pros and cons, obviously. That giant shop was amazing. It was wicked cool. Sure. I loved it. It was expensive, though.
It was, yeah, exactly. That's money that you don't have to spend now, right?
Having exactly. And now my commute is about a minute. I have to walk downstairs. I did like having a 15-minute commute to, like, decompress on the way to work. Like, I don't mind either way. It wasn't that long. Mm-hmm. But being able to just, like, roll out of bed, fall down the stairs, and be in my shop, especially if I need to fix something in my house, and I need a tool.
Yeah, right.
Pretty awesome that that's downstairs. So we've been enjoying it quite a bit.
Cool. That's awesome. Well, very cool. Is this stuff chronicled? Like, can we see before and afters or any of that stuff? Like, that would be really cool.
There's a little bit of that in the tour video, but most of our moving and before and after, we did a lot of that in our Patreon videos.
Gotcha. So, okay.
If you're a patron, those are all
that. That's good extras. Yeah, I was gonna say that's good content for your supporters. That's great. Very cool. Well, I still need to get out there and see that basement studio.
Never open invite.
Yeah, anytime. Right, can just show up in the middle of the night, 2 a.m. Bill, get out of bed.
Knock on the door. Sure.
Yeah, get out of bed. Damn it, I'm here to see your shop, and you'll say. What? And I'll say, it's me, it's Scott. Remember, we had an open deal. That's how it'll go.
All right. Just everyone listening, Scott is the only person with said deal.
That's right. There is no, we don't have any kind of legal, there's no legal, there's nothing legal about my deal. All right. That's what we're saying. that sounds great. Of course, this and so much more can be found over at the channel, punishprops.com, and the YouTube channel that corresponds with it. Bill, any bonusy thing this week?
Yeah, got a fun woodworking video. Talk about someone who's got a wicked cool shop. Frank Howarth. He's a woodworker. He made a globe out of wood using his lathe and his CNC machine. It's a huge wooden sphere, and the water is one color of wood, and the land is a different color of wood.
And the water, not just one color of wood, but like also different textures and like the rings, the color variations,
the grain,
thank you. Yeah.
Oh, that's
wow,
cool.
That's gorgeous.
It's really cool. The video is long. It took him a few tries because it's a very technical challenge to get all your land masses in the right spot and everything.
Sure.
But a really fascinating look at the process.
Kidding, because he's having to do each of these as a triangle, and then basically assembling it as a decahedron or whatever smoothing the crap out of it.
Yeah. Right. So it does end up on the lathe to make it into a sphere, but it starts as a geodesic dome.
It's like D 200 dice or something.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Like he's making Epcot.
That's
what he's
awesome.
Doing.
It reminds me of like low poly, like 3D image. You know what I mean? Like, I'd love that. That's so cool.
Like a low poly that you then take into a ray tracer.
Yeah,
we got to hit smooth. Yeah. We got to do a poly smooth like 3 or 4 times on that.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Very cool. Jeez. All right, go check that out. That's over Frank Howarth, like Howard, but with a TH at the end. That's who you're looking for there on the old YouTube. All right, Bill, have a fantastic week, man. We'll see you next time.
All righty.
Take it easy.
Bye now.
Okay. There goes Bill.
There he goes again.
That's where he goes. He goes there again.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get Steven in here. Steven Schleicher. You know him. You love him. And he has an intro.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Steven Schleicher. Steven Schleicher.
Look who it is. It's Steven Schleicher. Speaking of many-sided dice, that guy's familiar with those. What's going on, Steven?
Hey, Scott. Hey, Brian. Not a whole lot.
Are you at school right now? You at school?
Yes, I am.
I can always tell.
We're getting somewhat subdued,
yeah,
Steven.
Subdued, Steven.
Oh, it's been a morning. Let me just say that.
As already? Oh, jeez.
Well, good. Yeah. Hopefully we are a respite from your hideous morning, I hope. Maybe.
Sure, let's say that.
Okay, we'll pretend that that's true. It's good to have you here, of course, as always. Steven Schleicher, the purveyor of all things major spoilers, one of my favorite websites when it comes to comics, pop culture, and more. Should be yours as well. Go bookmark it, majorspoilers.com. The few things going on. Before we get to the Sandman Act 2 Audible thing, which is pretty cool in its own right, all hands on deck for the Sandman Netflix series. As far as I'm concerned, I'm very interested in this. It's got a cool cast so far. They've shown basically a teaser scene from it where Charles Dance and a bunch of people are around for the summoning and whatnot.
Right out of the comics.
Yeah, ripped right out of there, which makes me think that this thing will be ripped right out of the comics. Like they're going to be a true adaptation. Is that not a fair guess or what do you say?
Neil Gaiman is the showrunner, so I would hope so.
Oh, well, that's a good, I didn't realize he was showrunning as well as, you know, news the source, but I
that definitely helps.
Yeah, that helps a lot. No, that's great. Are you, where are you at with it? Are you much of a Sandman guy in the first place?
And is this I'm not a huge Sandman fan, although I do enjoy it quite a bit for what it is. I've got, if anybody can still find them, the absolute omnibus editions that DC puts out, these big oversized collections, really, really good stuff. Sometimes, especially in the early parts of Sandman, it gets into a little bit creepy territory and body horror territory that I'm not a big fan of. So that's kind of a turnoff for me. But, otherwise, it's good times. It's a good story about, you know, power and who has power and giving back power and, you know, exploring this world of the endless that Neil Gaiman has expanded upon and created.
Yeah, kind of his, you know, it's what really put him on the map. This is the thing that really pushed him forward. So to see all these years later to, you know, a chance for him to, I didn't know you're show running. That's cool. That's really good.
That's great.
I'm excited about it. So all of those, by the way, everything you mentioned is up on the DC app now. They have the entire Sandman run, including newer stuff too. But if you're trying to find it, you can find it. And that stuff's great. I would highly recommend that. And if you don't mind a little body horror like me, you're good. You know? It's fine. Little body horror never hurt nobody. Unless it was your body.
I mean, unless it's your body. Yeah.
If it's your body, then maybe that hurt a little bit. That's coming soon.
I guess the one thing that's interesting about the upcoming Netflix series, which says coming soon, I think they just wrapped up shooting on that in August. So it probably, when they say coming soon, probably won't be until next year is my guess. Yeah. Probably early next year. But they've got some really good actors in here. I suspect that there are going to be huge chunks that they can't use and do, because I noticed that there is a an actress who is playing Jenna Coleman from Doctor Who. She's playing Johanna Constantine. I have a feeling that they don't have the rights to use like John Constantine or Mr. Miracle or some of those other characters that are DC related. So it'll be interesting to see how they dance around that.
Oh, interesting. I wasn't thinking at all about that, but they're integral to the story. Right, aren't they?
Yeah, especially in the first, and especially because I'm guessing that season one, which I think is around 10 episodes, will basically cover Morpheus coming, you know, escaping from his prison and then going and tracking down his three bits, his sandbag, his ruby, and his helm. And that requires going and interacting with the Justice League International and interacting with John Constantine. And there's references to Swamp Thing and a whole bunch of other stuff that it would have been nice if they don't have access to that, that's fine. But it would have been nice to see, you know, John Constantine from the CW show, who's, you know, came from the NBC Constantine show, to have that actor continue to reprise that role across all DC properties.
What if Keanu Reeves just showed up and said, "I'm Constantine"? What would you do then? How would you feel about that?
I mean, some people are okay with that, I guess.
You know what's great about that movie is Peter Stormare's God, Satan, his version of the devil whatever. Yeah. So freaking good. He eats that thing up. And also, what's her name's good in it? Weird lady who was in she's in the MCU now.
The old
so
one.
Many weird ladies in the MCU.
The
now.
Tall weird one with the weird. She's in.
Yeah, she plays the master and the sorcerer.
Oh, Tilda Swinton. Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
And don't get after me because I called her weird looking. That's her whole career is about weird looking. That's the whole point.
She's gotten quite the John Oliver poked at Tilda Swinton this week. Saturday Night Live poked at Tilda Swinton this week.
Yeah, she's an unusual looking person with an amazing acting talent. And so those two things combined.
She's a very compelling looking actress.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there, keep your emails to yourselves. All right. what happened with the Scarlett Johansson? Before we leave that, the Sandman Act 2 thing coming to Audible. This is interesting because it's got a pretty good cast, and I didn't even know there was an Act 1. So is this just going to be...
Act 1, I believe, is... Double check, for a while it was free. So if you have an Audible account, you could get Act 1 completely for free. You may have to charge for it now, but basically it is an audio adaptation, a full-blown audio production of... the Sandman comics. Mm-hmm. So they did this before. This is a Audible original. So they did this before with Lock and Key, with Kate Mulgrew was one of the characters in that, Janeway from Star Trek. This one, man, they went even further. So like the whole series is narrated by Neil Gaiman. James McAvoy plays Morpheus. In season two or act two, which just came out, they've got John Lithgow is in it. Kevin Smith plays Merv Pumpkinhead. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Wright is Destiny. Jeffrey Wright currently playing Uatu, the Watcher. Mm-hmm. And David Tennant is in this as well. So they've got a really good cast, and it's really, really well done. I always question, how do you adapt a comic book into audiobook form? Mm-hmm. And they do a really good job of it. So. Yeah. People should go check that out. It's like I said, it's very well done. And if you're trying to get geared up for the Netflix series, the Audible stuff might be that next best thing, because, again, in conjunction with Neil Gaiman, he's narrating the series. It's very good.
And Jeffrey Wright's about to be Commissioner Gordon in the new Batman thing. When that ever
comes
out.
Right. Yeah, he's all over the place
next year.
What happens when you go from robot to.
You go from I don't see anything, or whatever they said on that show. What'd they say on Westworld? I don't, this doesn't
something
like
that. Yeah, I don't see anything there, or whatever. Yeah.
And that last season petered out so hard. Yeah. The first half was great, and then they blew it. I don't know what they were doing. Anyway, back to life, back to reality. Let's move to, that's not a bad song for me. Scarlett Johansson, lawsuit's over. What happened? She got everything she wanted, right? It all worked out in her favor, right?
I'm going to guess yes, to be honest with you. Okay. I mean, what they did is they settled out of court like we probably expected it would, because quite frankly, if this did go to court, part of the discovery is Disney and Marvel Studios would have to bring forth the entire budget for the entire movie and an accounting of everything that they spent on the movie and how much money they brought in, how much money went out. That gets into the weird Hollywood accounting aspect of, you know, very few movies ever make money. It's like 95% of movies never see a profit. All of them are, you know, failures or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's the one thing I think Disney didn't want to do. Plus, Disney got a huge PR bungle when they were just coming out and slamming Scarlett Johansson for bringing this lawsuit up. So my guess is she was looking for $50 million. My guess is she probably got somewhere in the neighborhood of $35 to $45 million.
Wow, that's pretty good money. I could buy things with that much money.
I mean, I know she didn't settle. I know she wouldn't have settled for anything less than 35.
She said in this, she put out a statement. So did Disney, but she put out a statement after the resolution, said, "I'm happy to have resolved our differences with Disney. I'm incredibly proud of the work we've done together over the years and have greatly enjoyed my creative relationship with the team. I look forward to continuing our collaboration in years to come." I mean, read into that what you will about Black Widow's, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because honestly, the character would all have to be prequels for her and forever, right? Because of what we know about Endgame.
Well, so. Multiverse of Madness.
Multiverse of Madness. Snap a finger.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. All this stuff can be reset.
Yeah. Have you guys been keeping up with Multiverse of Madness?
No.
Only through stuff that's happening in you know, like Venom 2.
Oh, I meant What No If. Way. I mean, with What If. That's what I'm
talking about. Oh, yeah.
No, I haven't watched any.
Have you seen the most recent
the
episode?
The animated Multiverse of Madness. Oh, it's great. I love
it
what they're doing
so
with this
fantastic.
Season. Yeah.
It totally, for people that are just like, oh, so these are all standalone stories. It is, but it isn't, especially with this last episode where it's all like, oh, it's all come together and here's what it points to. And there's a little, I wouldn't say that there's episode swapping, but the story's not told chronologically to an extent. So it's very, very good. And I've gotten used to the animation style. I'm not a huge fan of this.
Oh, really? Oh,
I'm not a
rotoscopy looking.
No, yeah. I hate 3D disguised as 2D animation.
Okay. See, I really like, I think it's the best use of that style I've ever seen.
I would agree with you there. I mean, go and look at Treasure Planet to see how still, that can fall apart.
Right. It's still not what you like, but it's, yeah, no, that's, and by the way, that character, that's who I want in Age of Ultron.
Oh, that Ultron? Okay.
That Ultron. That's the character I want in Age of Ultron. Heck with James Spader.
Yeah. Go back and change it. Edit it in. There's your multiverse of madness. Just edited versions of previous
movies.
Scott,
I think you would
enjoy
it. You need to watch it.
I will. It's like everything else. I'll get it. One night I'll get on a wild hair and I'll watch the whole effing thing in one big swoop.
Have you seen Star Wars Visions?
No, not yet.
These are super short. I mean, you can literally blow through this in 2 hours, the whole season in 2 hours.
Yeah.
They're like 15 minutes and they're great.
Well, that's good. Those I heard are just art. Just pure art, like amazing things.
I think they're going to offend some people who consider themselves Star Wars purists. But for what the project is, it's very, very good.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it, actually. That one, like things like, you know, the Matrix or Animatrix, and anytime anybody gets a bunch of anime, like top shelf anime artists and animators together and puts them on a project like this, it's always great. It's always amazing. So I have little doubt that that's like one of the coolest things I should be watching right now. I just haven't done it. But I will. I will.
Do it. No, you won't.
I'm reading too many comics,
dude. Have you
ever
watched Loki yet?
No, it's because I'm reading comics. I'm reading comics every night. Like every night. Every single night I go, you know what I should do? I should watch one of these shows everyone bugs me about. Or I could read 3 issues of this. So
if you haven't, last week since I wasn't on, here's a recommendation. Go check out Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. It is basically True Grit meets Supergirl.
Mm. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
and it's
great.
And it's really, really good.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned this somewhere.
Last week's email.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, I'm totally going to do that. That sounds great. See,
I don't know if
that.
It's on the Unlimited. I don't know if it's moved into your Unlimited service yet, but definitely, definitely read that series.
It takes, what, six? No, they're 3 months now. So and I guess it just depends on where it is, but
yeah. So the first issue is probably out on the Unlimited service now.
I'll check it out. I've just been watching. I've been reading so many comics, and everyone's like,
you know,
you need to be like us. It's like this modern day nerd peer pressure. It's the worst. Yes,
it doesn't need to be all one or the other. You could mix reading comics and watching comic based television and movies.
I mean, I could, but I also, you know, busy, got a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot to do.
Uh-huh.
And so then I got the whatever limited time I've got, and I do that. And I like to play video games. You familiar with those? I like those.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just a lot of content. We live in a time and a place.
I'm just saying it doesn't have to be one or the other. Like, you know, if you're planning on reading comics 4 nights this week, maybe do 2 nights of comics, 2 nights of Loki or What If or Parasite. I don't know. Sure. Or any of those things.
You betcha. Hey, world, I'm going to do a thing. I'll do it. Watch. I'll do it. All right. Hey,
I have a feeling I'm going to mark this on my calendar now. I'm going to say, ask Scott if he's seen Loki, and I'm setting this for January 22nd, 2023.
Oh, that'll
23.
I'm giving him a year and a half to watch Loki.
I will have seen it by then. I am almost 100% sure, but go ahead and put it on there. We'll do a check.
Anybody want to take bets? Anybody
you go ahead. You take your bet. I think that's
how long has it
bet.
Been since Scott's not seen Parasite?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's that. But I mean, I feel like he's got to watch it before Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness comes out. I feel like that.
Maybe not.
Like all these things kind of.
They're all tying up because even Spider-Man.
I mean, Doctor Strange, that's still, what, 6 months away?
Yeah. But you got that new Spider-Man's got him in there. And, you know, all this stuff with Doctor Strange involved. I have to catch up before
I'll bet by January 22nd, 2022, he's caught up to Loki.
Popsicle Klein wants to know how many times I'll see MMFR. Or Fury Road before then, and it might be a few. I'll admit that.
Right,
it'll probably be a few.
it's what's going to be a bummer is that, you know, all the comic reading is going to keep you from watching Dune when it comes out.
There's even,
you know, you're too busy reading comics to watch
that
Dune.
That is a guaranteed night of. There is zero stopping
me
there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Weird. Oh, yeah. Okay. Weird, right? Oh. Weird. Yeah, weird. Weird how I prioritize these things. All right. So there you go. Steven, what's going on around major spoilers that maybe people at home might be interested in?
So one of the greatest comic books of all time. I know some people are like, but you guys already talked about Sandman. Trust me. One of the greatest comic books of all time, Atomic Robo from Scott Wegner and Brian Clevenger, is something that you all should read. And you can read it for free because they have it up on their website now. Everything that they put out comes out first on the website and then print later on. We're looking at two volumes ago in our continuing read through of the Atomic Robo series for the Major Spoilers podcast. We're going to be talking about this week. So everybody tune in and check that out.
Yeah, it seems awesome. Always something good happening over there. So check it out. Yeah. Steven Schleicher. He is Major Spoilers on Twitter. Have a great day at school.
Stay hydrated.
Bye now. Teaching the kids. The next generation.
That's right. That's right. Under his tutelage.
His tutelage, right. His tootle, all doing the utelage. All right, check this out.
Listen, Tadpole, it's a good balance, right? Like, Scott will always be here. If you guys are into the comics, you'll have Scott to chat with about the coolest comic stuff you're reading, and I know there's a lot of you out there. And if you're into talking about the movies and TV stuff, I'm here too. So you're getting the best of both worlds.
Yeah, and also, I don't know why they care so much. Like, this question here. Can we mention the dystopian desert in Loki so he can watch it? It's all hilarious. I get it. But I don't know why anyone cares what I've seen. I don't get it.
A post-apocalyptic scene in Parasite is fantastic.
Great. I'm tuning in tonight. I'm watching the whole thing tonight, overnight. I'll be dead tired tomorrow, but boy, it'll be worth it. All right. Here's a mashup. It's a Monday morning mashup from our good pal Jamie, aka TMS Mashups. This one's called Spelling with Scott. So,
good.
Hey,
okay.
Look, since we're already on Scott for this other thing, let's go ahead and pile on. Let's see what else we can do. So let's enjoy this. Enjoy it. Here it is. So this is the day we learned that Brian is naturally pink.
Oh,
this view of Brian's head really
just a
me
close up of my pink head.
Yeah. Oh, I found a man wiener. Look at this. Have you ever done a hitchhiker? Have you ever picked one up?
I've never done a hitchhiker, no, Scott. But I've seen my share of Brazzers videos. Oh, what's this in the middle? Yeah. Whoa! Yeah.
Do you have anything to say about this dude in his Batman costume?
Yeah, I never want to see the Dark Knight Rise. Yep, that red squirrel come behind, run on frame, run all the way up to the front.
You damn squirrels always ride runners.
Speaking of Mike Judge.
Yeah. The Dodonpa roller coaster. Dodonpa. I'm sure that's right.
Dodonpa, yeah. Dodonpa. Dodonpa.
Something like that.
Well, we can come up with some Kiss-branded flash drives.
Oh, this is a great idea, Gene. Let's get on this. Why haven't we done this before? What is a flash drive anyway? I'm Paul Stanley. I'm from Kiss. Paul Stanley's Kiss wants to know, what's a flash drive? Do you think Shatner agreed because the ship is a penis? Because look at that. Look at that thing.
Yes, that's probably why he agreed.
They know this, right? Bezos knows that they've created a penis ship, right? He knows this.
For pretty much every angle. Yeah.
It's a penis. It's an anatomically correct, some might say pleasing, penis.
Oh my gosh, Meredith Baxter Burney coming out of a Jamba Juice. Yeah. So let's ask her what she's up to.
That's a deep pull. Meredith Baxter Burney. Oh my gosh.
I was basically just trying to circling the 80s sitcom drain.
Yeah.
I do love it when you talk about jambalaya because in the show notes it's always jambolia. Like this weird spelling that...
Jambolia.
Jambolia.
I can never be bothered to spell it properly. Let me try it again if I'm really thinking.
All right, let's see how you do. I'm curious.
I'll go J-A.
Uh-huh. So far, so good.
M.
Uh-huh. Yep.
B.
Yep.
O-L. B-Y.
No. Nope.
J-A-M-B-A-L.
Uh-huh.
Jambolaya.
Oh, so close.
L-A-Y-A.
There you go.
There, done.
Jambalaya.
Got it. Only took 100 years. I could go for some jambolia right now.
That does sound good, especially some 7-day-old jambolia.
You don't have
any. I've been threatening at some point if we ever run out of games for Babel Royale, I want to do a spelling bee with Scott, where the listener has to predict whether or not you can spell a word that I give you.
That's a terrible idea, but actually a wonderful idea. We should actually do that.
Terribly wonderful idea.
That's pretty good. Let's do it.
We'll do it. We'll do it when you're not feeling so piled on.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. Now, I assume there'd be words like give me an example. What kind of word would we use here?
Let's say paradigm.
Paradigm. Let me do it. Let's see if we can do it. This would be a test, an early test of the program. So P-A-R. It's going to be easier for me to type as I do it.
Sure.
Not
until you get the red dotted line that says incorrect. And
yeah. Para.
Or it finishes the word for you.
Is it P-A-R? Let's see. P-A-R-A. Mm-hmm. D-I. G-N. That's not
right. What was the last letter you said there?
G-N? N is an... Oh, paradigm. Sorry. M is what I meant. So P-A-R-A-D-I-G-N.
That's exactly right. Yes. Yes.
Okay. That was... I had to type it to know, though, because I'm terrible.
Yeah, we're not going to let you type. If we play this game, you've got to do it completely in your head.
Yeah, this was rough for me growing up for some reason.
You'll have to put your hands on top of your head for the visual.
I'm almost like worst case scenario because growing up, spelling was hard for me, and I just was never good at it and got through, but it was just by the hair of my teeth. Now we live in a world where we are actively encouraged to not worry about it because
I know
everything you can correct, everything gets a red dotted line, everything has something on the browser that says, did you mean this instead of what you searched for?
Exactly.
Like, all of it is like there to make up for that. And so I've never been forced to truly face how crappy I spell things. It's just
totally. No, and same thing has happened to phone numbers. You know, you used to, as a kid, you had about a dozen, maybe a couple dozen phone numbers in your head. You knew your mom's phone number, you know, at work. You knew your grandparents' phone number. You knew, you know, this number and that number. Mm-hmm. And now I know my mom's home phone number. I know Tina's cell phone. And I think, you know, maybe one or two others. But we don't have to remember phone numbers anymore. Like, what if we get stuck somewhere without our cell phones and we have to call somebody? Can I borrow your phone? Oh, you don't have my friend in your contacts.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the same thing with, like, I was just talking to Kim about this again the other day. I don't know her number. I really don't know my wife's number. I used to. I don't now. Because why? Because it's right here if I need it. It's
exactly. Yeah, that's the problem.
Now, she knows everybody's because she's some kind of weird, you know, perfect human, but I can't do
savant.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. Anyway. Well, that's all well and good. Let's move on to this quick email from a listener.
Sure.
This is from Omega 9X, who usually is in the chat. Is he today? Might be. I'm not sure.
I think I saw them earlier.
Might be. Omega anyway, 9X. Says, short time listener, first time caller. Just wondering, as an actual artist, do you read comics differently than us? Oh, good. There's a comics question. Do you read comics differently than us normal people? I started reading the all-new Wolverine based on your recommendation. I probably spent 20 seconds tops looking at a page, and then panels fly by with a short second glance at the art. Do you spend time admiring the art in the page? Something, or sometimes there is a spread, and I zoom in and look, but most of my peripheral catches the action and moves on. Just wondering if you have a better appreciation after doing it for so long. Thanks for all your content and insight. Well,
geez, Dane, I don't know because I don't read comics. I only watch television.
He only watches TV. The pictures have to move. No, I do look. Art is a big part of it for me. I can't.
For sure.
I can't. Like, you could present to me one of the best written comics, but if the art is just bad or not appropriate or the style doesn't fit or whatever, it really takes me out of it. When the art and the writing, like, jive, like Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo, when they work together, or, you know, there's always great combo artists and writers, and that's why you often see them do a lot together. It's because that stuff just really jumps off the page. Well,
and I'm more distracted by bad art in comic books than I think I would be if I wasn't, you know, a budding drawer.
Right. Yeah. And I'm always looking for, like, why is his head out of proportion, or why is that guy's leg too long, or, you know, I can't read. Rob Liefeld had some amazing ideas. He made Deadpool. He made Cable. He's an amazing creator, but his art sucked. And every time you'd see his art, it would take me away from whatever story is being told.
Yeah.
And everyone loves to make fun of Liefeld, but for me, it was that simple. It was just like, I can't pay attention. It was,
for me, Dave Cockrum. Dave Cockrum. I like Dave Cockrum. No, it was, oh my God, it was the guy who drew Rom Space Knight, who made Sal Buscema.
Oh, there you go.
Not to be confused with the fantastic John Buscema.
Yeah.
Or Buscema.
Buscema. Are they brothers? They're not brothers, are they? Or are they?
I'm pretty sure they're related in some.
It's an unusual name.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
It is.
I'm trying to find my my app here so I can actually point out an
artist.
Let's
see. He is the younger brother of John Buscema.
Mm. Okay.
Oh, here we go. Here's the pronunciation. Buscema. John Buscema, or Sal Buscema and John Buscema.
And John, you like more than Sal.
I love John Buscema's art. I'm a huge fan of John Buscema's Spider-Man and stuff like that. But Sal Buscema, or Silvio is his born name, always tended to, if he drew any characters with their mouth open, it was always the same square mouth shape.
Mm.
It was like Mike Zeck and always drawing feet straight on so it looked like people were running around on pegs.
Yeah. This happens. An artist will have a signature thing, like somebody will draw a nose
always
a certain way. Yeah, and you'll see every time you see that little nose accent, you'll go, oh, there it is again. I'm distracted from the story. I'm not paying attention.
It totally is. Yep. But, you know, you show me anything, if you, and kind of the opposite is true, right? If you find out, for me, if I find out Kyle Baker is drawing something new, or drawing and writing something new, I'll immediately
gravitate. It's a no-brainer, read it. Yeah. Same. I do this with Sean Murphy. He's probably my favorite creator right now. I really like Sean Murphy's work. If you've read any of that White Knight Batman stuff, man, he's good. He's not only writing, but he's doing all the art, and his style is just so freaking cool. He was born to draw Batman, that guy. Anyway, there's your answer to your question, and if you've got questions, send them in, themorningstream@gmail.com. In the meantime, this entire enterprise is fueled by you and your good graces at patreon.com/TMS. Please keep that up. It's a brand new month. It's a perfect time to jump in. We'll be mentioning some names during the week. You could be one of them. patreon.com/TMS. In fact, if you sign up now, you will be one of them because I'm reading new names this week. Okay?
New names!
So if you want to be read, you want to be talked about in glowing terms, there's never been a better time. patreon.com/TMS. And I think that's it. Oh, frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. Brian, we should go with a song.
Sure. Let's go to Matthias Persson, who wrote in and said, hey, Scott and Brian, or hey, Scott and Brian, happy Cinnamon Bun Day. Didn't know that today was Cinnamon Bun Day, but okay.
Right.
At least in Sweden it is. It's also my birthday, so I'd like to request a cover to myself by the brilliant artist Lloyd Cole. P.S. Love the show. Greetings from the glorious country in the north, the kingdom of meatballs, hockey players, and put it together yourself furniture.
Nice. Nice. Wait, did he say it was his birthday? Yeah. He's celebrating his birthday?
He's celebrating his birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
All right. Just making sure. Good.
All right. So Lloyd Cole, boy, another musician who came up in the 80s, early 90s, Lloyd Cole, the Commotion. So such good stuff. Matthias wanted to hear his Leonard Cohen cover. He's actually done a couple. He did a cover of Famous Blue Raincoat, but he did this one as well. This is Chelsea Hotel Number 2, covered by Lloyd Cole from the I'm Your Fan, the Songs of Leonard Cohen tribute. They came out in 1901. Here is Lloyd Cole.
Talking so loud and so sweet, you were giving me a head on the unmade bed while the limousines wait in the streets. And those were the reasons, and that was New York. We were running for the money and the flesh. And that was called love for the workers in song, probably still is for those of them left. And then you got away and I, didn't you, babe? You just turned your back on the crowd. Yeah, you got away. I never once heard you say, I need you. I don't need you. I need you. I don't need you. And all of that driving around. I remember you well in the Chelsea Hotel. You Now, famous your heart was a legend. You told me again that you preferred a handsome man, but for me you would make an exception. And clenching your fists for the ones like us who are oppressed by figures of beauty. Yeah, fix yourself, you said. Well, never mind, we are ugly, but we have the music. Man, you got away now, didn't you, babe? You just turned your back on the crowd. Oh, you got away, I never once heard you say, I need you. I don't need you, baby, I need you. I don't need you. And all of that jiving around.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
You're just taking a missile up your tailpipe.